Hey there, just a couple things before we get going. Dedicated listeners may notice they've heard this episode before. Events conspired, and we were not able to record a new episode for this week. We'll be back with a new one next week, but we just wanted to alert you to that a little bit ahead of time. Also, as we did last week, we're asking you to give us your nominations for the Word of the Year for 2025. Dictionaries, of course, are coming out with their words of the year. We'd like to talk about ours, and we'd like to talk about yours. So please email us. I'm at powell@kmuw.org. Kathy and Ross are at kandrpetras@gmail.com. And let us know what your choices are for the words of the year. Okay, here we go. From KMUW Wichita,
from Toronto, Ontario,
and from Armilla, Spain,
this is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk words, as in plural. Words, as in plural words. You think it's as easy as just putting an S on the end of the word? Oh my, no. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, of course, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Well, Merry Christmas almost, Kathy, there in Armilla in Spain. I'll bet they get really excited about Christmas there in Armilla.
Oh, yeah, and it lasts forever because the big day is King's Day in January. So it's like it's a very long season and very fun. It's very fun.
And Ross Petras there in Toronto, I'm sure they get excited enough about Christmas and all sorts of holidays. You guys have such a wonderfully mixed cultural cauldron there in Toronto. You have so many different kinds of people.
The one thing I don't like about Toronto, though, is they have a Christmas Santa Claus parade, and it's in November, not December.
Although, Ross, like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade ends with Santa, and that's in November.
I see what you're saying. I want a Christmas parade in December. I don't care.
Santa doesn't come till December.
Well, speaking of confusing Christmas things, we got an email about something that's never confusing, which is the wording in A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, this was an interesting one. It's Kelly from Chicago writes, I have a question about the Christmas Carol, Away in a Manger, and would like you to weigh in. I was looking up the lyrics, and this is what I found. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. I always thought it was lay down his sweet head, but this is what I kept finding. I like her. She's a skeptic. She says, I kept on looking because I was sure it was wrong. But apparently I was wrong. Still laid sounds wrong to me, is it?
Actually, why don't we ask Fletcher? If it's not wrong, why? Do you know?
Oh, man. Okay, so we're going back into the lie-lay, lane, laid.
It just be like thing. Screaming this
one. I lie down. I lay down. I lay the book down. I laid the book down. And I'm laying my head down as if I've taken it off. I laid it down. It's just, that seems right, right?
It is right. The real key here, and these are really confusing. I'm not even sure it really matters anymore, but the key thing is lay is a transitive verb. That means it has to have an object. Mm-hmm. Lie is intransitive. That means it just is, okay? Mm-hmm. So when Jesus laid down, what did he did something to something. He laid something down.
Right.
He lay his sweet head down. Now the real confusion comes into the fact that if it were present tense, it would be, if you're saying, he does it now. Jesus lays down his sweet head. Jesus lies down and lays down,
lays down his sweet head.
Okay, let's do one more, Fletcher.
Hold on, wait. Doesn't it also complicate things just a little bit, at least in your head when you're trying to figure it out, that his sweet head is a part of him?
Yes, yeah, it does.
So, like, he's doing it to his head, but his head is him.
I'm not listening to this carol this season, I tell you.
Turn it off.
I got another question for you, Fletcher. Okay, we're talking just about no head here. He just had done something.
Right.
He had
lain on the bed.
Okay, now.
It sounds so wrong now.
Yes. And now he had done this to his head. he had, I think it's laid, right? He had laid his head on the bed. Right. So,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Now we're going to do the ing ones. Oh, God. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was blanking his head on the bed.
Laying his head?
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
He was blanking on the bed.
Lying.
Right. You got it.
The thing is, though, I just want to say, because we have this rule, and I had found that the lay lie thing has, it's not really a rule exactly. I mean, it is, but it isn't. Lay has been used intransitively like lie since the 1300s, and no one paid attention, and then they tried to correct it in the 1700s. So it's yet another of those rules that suddenly became huge, and everybody was like, well, you have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Although I still have to say, I'm going to go lie down. And when I hear I'm going to go lay down, it still slightly bothers me in my head.
Which you will lay down if you go lie down.
But I don't think you should worry about this at all, but it is fascinating.
Yeah, I agree with you. It does slightly bother me, but I swear, though, I definitely, when I sing this carol, I say, lay down his sweet head. But that's because you're relying. It's laid down.
Yes.
So really, yeah. So you know what we should do then is have a little more fun if we're going to do, if lay and lie is going to bother you.
Yeah, we were thinking, Fletcher, it's near Christmas, near holiday season. We're thinking, what is more fun? I can't think of anything more fun than Greek and Latin plurals in English.
Oh,
can
my
you think
gosh.
Of anything more fun, Kathy?
I was so hoping you would say that. I was so hoping that's what we were going to do.
Oh, boy, Ross, this is like Christmas has already come.
No, this is good. You know, I think we've talked here and there about Latin and Greek plurals before, but I always feel like I need a refresher on it because I get to a word like hippopotamus or cactus or rhinoceros, and I can never quite remember how it's supposed to be pluralized properly. And so I actually am pretty excited that we're getting back into this today.
Okay. You just said it. You should remember this then. What's the plural of octopus?
Okay. Octopus. Oh, see, I can't quite remember which way it's supposed to go. I mean, I've always said octopi when I was growing up, but I think maybe it's actually supposed to be octopuses.
Yes, that's the way it should be. At this point, it can also be octopi, although technically that's incorrect.
Yeah.
The whole deal comes in here. We'll go into the Latin plurals a little bit later. But the really confusing thing is the P-U-S in octopus. Octo means eight, and the P-U-S means foot.
Uh-huh.
And they both came from Greek, not Latin.
There we go.
The U.S. Latin is like a fake plural that people tacked on. At this point, so many people have tacked on the I that it's generally considered okay. But usually if someone's going to be a snob about it, our point with this one is we say octopuses. Kath and I both are like emphatic octopuses.
Yes, we are. I didn't realize that octopi didn't come about, though, until the 1800s. Because you always feel like it was around longer than that. I mean, I know it's a fake Latin plural, but I would have thought it was older than the 1800s. But it was not.
Actually, the word for octopus in Latin is polypus, which is not octopus at all.
Yeah, that's not even specific enough, is it? It just means a lot of them.
Lots of them, you're right.
That was in Latin? I thought that was, I'm sorry, Ross, I thought that was Greek.
Well, polypus comes from the Greek, but the Latin, when Romans talked about eating octopus, they would say polypus, not octopus.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I know it. I was there.
I like polypus better than octopus now. It sounds like an octopus.
But it's so lazy.
Oh, you're not supposed to eat them.
It's so lazy. You just count them. Come on.
But, I mean, Ross, did you mention that technically it should be octopodes?
Octopodes or octopodes it should technically be. I think someone did a little survey of how many people said octopodes online versus octopi versus octopuses. And octopodes is far, far not use, and I think it sounds silly.
Yes, but you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be saying octopuses from now on, and if somebody corrects me to octopi, I'm going to correct them to octopodes.
Yes.
That's it. You can snob it up.
Let's say we're at the zoo now, and I was actually at the zoo fairly recently, and we saw some. You see one platypus, and then you say, oh, there's another.
Look at all those.
The duck-billed mammal from Australia.
Oh, you know what? I would probably say platypi, actually.
And
you would be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now that you bring it up, it seems like I would probably be wrong.
Yeah.
Is that the same deal?
Yep. The pus part, the P-U-S, has the plural in Greek of podes. So we platypodes or platypodes, technically. But again, I would say basically platypuses.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it was originally called an Australian duck mole.
Duck mole? It looks sort of like a mole.
Yeah, I actually think that's great. I think it's very evocative.
I like it better.
Russ, do you think there's a stigma attached to that?
There might be. Fletcher, we're going to ask you now, plurals, we're going to digress a little bit into Greek origin plurals, okay?
Well, thank you for telling me that, because that makes a difference.
Okay, I'm sure it does, because you're an expert on these things. So what's the plural of stigma?
I'm thinking now, just what would I say? There are many stigmas. I would probably just use the S on the end, frankly.
That's good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
The technical Greek ending, when it ends in an M-A and you know the word is a Greek word, you add T, and of course you do because you're an expert at all of this stuff. The key is you add a T-A to it. So stigma becomes stigmata.
Oh, wait, no. I thought that was a different thing. I mean, it is a different thing. Now
no.
It means a lot, but that's where this is one interesting case, which is why we chose this, because stigmas I would use in a sense of like there are a lot of stigmas about this,
right?
But then stigmata, like with the
crucifixion
in Christian, the people having the wound signs, you would call that stigmata. And I looked online, and apparently, in older medical terms, sometimes people refer to stigmata on like people with multiple wounds. But in that case, we have two different plurals.
That's definitely why I didn't say stigmata, is because I think that's, I think that word is very specific now.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think anyone says like, oh gosh, there's so many stigmata about doing that. I mean, no. But now what fascinates me is technically dogma is dogmata, which I don't think I've ever heard. But then I don't think I've ever said dogmas either.
Oh, I think I would have, like, in poli-sci classes, and I would have said dogmas. I would never have said dogmata.
Dogmata, no.
Yeah, I think that's the lesson we're going to come into very, very painfully. In most cases, with all of these words that are Greek or Latin, or from Greek or Latin origin, just add the S. And don't...
Yeah, just ignore everything technically correct.
Forget today, yeah. So let's go quickly through magma, Fletcher.
Magmata.
Actually, I've never thought of magma. I'm sorry. I'm just going to type magmas in. I don't think I've ever seen magmas. I'm looking right now, and everything is magma singular.
I wonder what geologists or whoever would be studying. What's a volcano expert called? Whoever would be studying.
Volcanologist.
Those. Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what they say. I'm sure we have some listening.
Magmata would technically be the Greek plural, but I don't think we have it with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's go on to another thing with O-N- ending words. What's the plural of phenomenon?
Phenomena with an A.
Yes. The O-N ending in from a Greek origin word tends to have an A for the plural. And this is one I think I would use. I would say phenomena.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever said phenomenons. I might have.
I would use the A for sure. You know what I am hearing, and maybe seeing too, but hearing more often is phenomena used as a singular.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that myself.
I have too, and that doesn't bother me. We're talking about not about a Greek word; we're talking about an English word now.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, and who cares?
This one gets me though. The word automaton. What would be the plural of that then?
I mean, I guess technically, if we're following that rule, automata.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't. I would never say that. I would say automatons.
And then we have hypothesis, which I always use the correct. Greek ending
sure.
for that too. What do you say to that?
Hypotheses.
Right. Yeah. I don't say hypotheses, which is really bad. You know.
Thesis, same thing. Theses.
Okay, this is a cool one. What about chrysalis?
Chrysalis.
Chrysalis is in like the butterfly thing.
Well, chrysalis doesn't sound right. Chrysalises sounds messy, but I don't know what else it would be. What is it?
Okay, this ending is IDES. So chrysalides.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
But iris, I have heard. Iris is in the eye. What's iris?
Are you going to tell me it's irides?
Yes.
Really? I would have just said irises.
I'm looking online and I'm finding that chrysalises is very common.
It is. And irises is also very common.
Yeah.
But Ira Dees is also common.
Really?
I'm looking it up right now.
Maybe
as we speak. Yep.
If you're an ophthalmologist or if you're a botanist.
Yeah.
What are the irides of the eye? Yeah.
Well, so do people who horticulturists or botanists, do they also talk about irides when they're talking about the flower?
I'm thinking of Randy. Randy talks about irids all the time. My husband is an amateur botanist.
Okay.
He does do irids, but I'm going to ask him. I'm curious now.
But the IDES ending is all over the place in scientific and medical names.
Mm-hmm.
Anthropodes, the genus of some sort of crane, Lapides, as we all know, is the genus containing the long-tailed blue butterfly.
Yeah, sure. I didn't think it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, goes without saying. But those are places where you're going to retain those original endings, are the scientific arenas, right?
That's true, because I think a lot of that is just it's that very narrow, or if you will, or specific field.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we normal people, I don't think I've ever said, iris. I've said irises. The next one I think is really interesting, because it's something. This is something I know some of them, and I didn't know others.
Yes,
but it's an X ending. Sphinx.
Oh, Sphinx. Certainly, I would just say sphinxes.
Yes, you could.
Which I hate to say, which is correct, but doesn't that sound strange?
Yeah, I mean, my only other thought is sphincters, and I can't imagine that that is correct.
No, that is incorrect.
No, what is it?
Sphinges.
Sphing with a G?
I-N-G-E-S, yes.
Sphinges. Sphinges?
So Sphinges? It's a hard G?
Sphinges. No, Sphinges. I was doing ancient Greek. It should be J. Yeah,
Sphinges.
Sphinges.
Sphinges. That sounds horrible.
It sounds horrible.
Look at that Sphinx. Look at that one over there. These are great Sphinges.
So another thing, you're like in a, you're looking at a Spartacus movie or something, and phalanx.
Oh, phalanges.
Yes.
Well, that's a word we know. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a cool one. That's that what I really, cool. I was proud of
like
you also finding this one. I thought that was really cool.
I know.
But again, we have the phalanges in your fingers, right? Your thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. Speaking of the medical, this one really got me. Okay. We have a inflammation of like these membranes in your brain. We call it meningitis.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the plural is meninges because there are like three or four layers of it. What is the singular of meninges? I think you could derive it now,
yeah,
Fletcher.
I mean, I guess following that, it's like meninx.
Yes, you got it.
Isn't that amazing?
Very good.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Oh, the next one I love. It's another backward. Ross, I got to give you credit on these because you found these. Okay, we know plankton. It's your whales eating plankton. We all learned that when we were kids in school. What is one plankton?
Completely useless knowledge here, but
I guess I would have thought it was still just a plankton.
That's what I would have thought.
Yeah, what is it?
It's a plankter.
Plankter, of course.
A plankter?
Yes.
So Fletcher, we're going to now move into Latin words.
Yay! It's still Christmas.
Are you thrilled? Okay, Latin words ending in A in English. The A changes to what? We have antenna. What's the plural of antenna?
I think we're supposed to add an E on the end.
We're supposed to add, yes, because A becomes A.
And how do you pronounce that?
And how do you say it?
Yeah.
That's your problem, Fletcher.
This is hell. This is hell for me. In Latin, the correct pronunciation of an A-E diphthong would be an I, so it'd be antennae. However, in English, it's pronounced, Kathy?
Antennae.
Uh-huh.
But that, I see now, okay, I say I would say antennas,
Antennas,
but if I'm doing the AE, I want to do I, and I'm not a Latin speaker, but E sounds wrong. That's my problem with alumna. Alumni. I want to say alumni,
I know. I feel like screaming with that. I always pronounced it with an I.
Sometimes I would just say it as antenna again.
Yes,
actually,
you could do that too.
You're right, actually.
But not always. Like alumni, I would say alumni. I wouldn't just say alumna. I'm not consistent, it turns out.
No, it's funny that you say that because I just realized when you said it, I'm not either. I don't follow the rules for each of them. I have different rules in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's like different mm-hmm. levels mm-hmm. or something.
Well, language is capricious. We have certain, like, you know, we have certain words that we use this plural, certain words we use that plural. It just doesn't, I think the Latin words disappear sometimes too. Like algae.
I was just going to say mm-hmm. that. I never say the singular.
The alga, I would never say.
No.
No.
Would you say algae, there is algae, or there are algae?
I would say there is algae.
I would say there is algae.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a collective, like a collective noun, singular.
Amoeba, amoebas, I would say.
I would say amoebas. But what about U-M endings?
Right, so...
Addendum.
Addendum becomes addenda. Datum becomes data.
Very good.
Agendum becomes agenda.
Yep, very good.
But now, okay, do we use, though, this is a case where I think we use the singular... We don't use the singular. We use the plural more often.
Yeah. Addendum we use probably as much as we use addenda, probably more. But data we use for the singular quite often.
Yeah.
Agenda. What about agenda?
Agenda. I never hear agendum.
No.
Bacteria.
Bacteria. I would say bacteria. I would say one bacteria. I wouldn't say one
bacteria. A bacteria. Yeah. I mean, if I were a doctor or a scientist, I probably would say bacterium. But
curriculum.
Curriculum I would do. I would
curriculums. I would say curricula.
Yeah, I would say curricula too. And I occasionally see people write curriculums, and I don't like that, and I would change it to curricula.
No. Again, it's so capricious though, because we're like fine with some Latin yep. plurals. We're saying no, yep. s. You know, it's really interesting.
Yeah, no, it's weird. Millennium. I definitely would make the distinction.
I would say millennia. I would say millenniums.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Words. Latin words ending in us.
Like,
okay.
Okay.
Cactus.
Cactus. Okay, so cactus actually is a Latin word, so I guess that's cacti.
Yes.
No, it's cactipodi.
Cactipodi.
Okay, fungus.
Fungus? Okay, well, this is a fun one. It would be spelled F-U-N-G-I, but am I supposed to say fungi or fungi or fungi or fungi?
We did an article on this at one point, and we put it in a book. It technically, in Latin, it would be... The I would be pronounced E, so it'd be fungi.
I like how the I is pronounced E, but the AE is pronounced I.
No, I just want to scream. And then other people go, well, yeah, but it's English, so you say fungi. We ended up concluding funguses is the best way to go.
I think funguses is great.
I think funguses is great. Then I don't have to worry about the
fungi.
I don't have to worry about the G sound either.
No.
No.
Funguses. Yeah.
Okay, focus.
Like foci?
Yes. But I think I always say focuses. I don't say foci.
I don't remember talking about more than one focus, really.
There are many focuses. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd probably say focuses. I think I probably would if I had to.
Okay, stimulus.
Stimuli again. Yep, definitely.
This is a good one. Campus.
We all would say the Latin word, this one.
Campi.
Of course. Yesterday we were at a different, we were several different campi at the university. Okay, how about this one, Fletcher? Going with the, you know, all these rules that we've learned, genus, as in, you know, Homo sapiens, it's a genus of human. Genus.
Isn't genus like genii? Like, aren't there two eyes or something?
Ooh, no. you're so close.
Am I? What is
there's,
it?
There's an A. This is the problem with doing all this Latin. Unless you know all of these words, I'm going to tell you quickly. Were the words we just did with U.S. were called the second declension of Latin. Genus, which ends in U.S., is actually the third declension. So it has different plural ending. Which, of course, it is genera. E-R-A.
Oh, of course. Genera. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I've heard that.
Corpus as in the body of work. What's the plural of corpus?
Well, this is a third declension. I have
very
to
good,
know.
Fletcher. Yes.
So, is it corpora?
Yes, you got it.
Okay.
And here's one. Opus.
Oh, opera.
Yes, you got it.
That one gets me because you don't really think of opera as being anything but like, woo, you know?
Yeah,
I know. I know.
I learned this one from crossword puzzles.
They're really good for this stuff.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know. Yeah.
This is a really interesting one. This one caused a huge bun fight a while back. All over the like Linux websites and all this. People are talking back and we're getting really angry.
Can I stop you briefly before you bring that up? This is the second time... You and Kathy have used the term bun fight.
Oh, gosh.
And I have never heard this before you said it a few weeks ago.
So he's the one to ask.
Okay, it's an English term from the 1930s. I picked up from.
Is it from Agatha Christie? Huxley.
Ross, no, Aldous Huxley, I think.
Really?
It's like a fight. You're basically fighting over, like you're at a party and you're like having a silly little fight.
It's chiefly UK slang.
Do you throw buns at each other?
Late 1800s. I'm like looking it up. I got it from Ross. Yeah, they're saying possibly Victorian children squabbling over buns and cakes at tea time. Oh, it's often also muffin fight or crumpet scramble.
I like that too.
Crumpet scramble. That's great. Wow.
But the key thing with virus was really interesting. What is the plural of virus?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly always say viruses now.
Yes. That is completely correct.
Oh, that's it.
The big fight in Linux and all that was virus in Old Latin had no plural.
Oh.
It came into English and then it came into English late in the 1600s and then they added a plural to it, like vira. It's a second declension. Technically, it's a second declension neuter noun, which should have vira, which no one ever says and no one ever said. But this is why it gets really silly. All these people arguing over a word that did not have a plural when it was first founded. You don't need it. Viruses is fine.
But that's what always gets me, though, when we go back to, we've talked about this before, when people do the thing that they think sounds smart and clever and highfalutin, and they're absolutely wrong.
Such as octopi. Yeah,
and you end up going like, you know, hello, this is not correct, you know, which is fine, but... this is the final and most important question, because Fletcher, you'll probably soon be facing this as your children enter school age.
Oh, God.
We're talking about dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
Oh,
do you know dinosaur names? Do you know them now, Fletcher?
Oh, by
like
heart.
Velociraptor, all of that?
I remember all of them from when I was an elementary school child, and now that my children can see straight, I have been making them learn them as well.
Okay, Diplodocus, plural.
Oh, crud.
We already learned this a little bit.
I never talk about more than one Diplodocus. Well,
there are a lot of them out there at one point.
Diplodoci.
Technically, yeah. Kath and I are going for Diplodocuses.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's what I would say.
Tyrannosaurus.
Well, I would still say Tyrannosauruses.
Kathy and I go for this one. We cut off the us and say Tyrannosaurus.
Tyrannosaurus. Yeah. Oh, sure. Of course. Yes.
This is really interesting. We went to dinotopia.com and we have a disagreement with this. I'm going to read it to you and let's discuss it for 2 seconds so we can discuss it with your children later and go into this. Don't pluralize scientific Latin names in an English way. Velociraptors is wrong. It may be correct if you are meaning several species belonging to the genus Velociraptor, some of which you don't recognize. It may sound strange, but this Sarah is attacked by lots of Velociraptor and 3 Utah Raptor is the correct way. The same applies to pluralizing binomial names. John was stampeded by a large herd of Unanosaurus swangi and 5 Unanosaurus robustus. There is no change. Don't use binomials in this case unless you want to confer the identification of the species is very important. Now, the plural correct would a velociraptor would be velociraptores. We don't think they should use it. We say velociraptors is fine.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.